Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. We are entering the last week of the Steelers OTA practices. The official team activities come to an end this week on Thursday with the final practice. I believe it's Monday through Thursday is the schedule this week for the Steelers, and today is actually going to be their team building exercise at Dave & Buster's, so that should be fun. But again, the last week of OTAs this week, so we'll talk all this week about OTAs and all of the news coming out. Next week is actually minicamp, so we're going to talk about minicamp next week. We'll go Tuesday through Friday next week because minicamp is Tuesday through Thursday, and because I record this podcast a day early, it'll give me a chance to talk about each minicamp practice in its entirety. And so we'll switch the schedule next week. Instead of being Monday through Friday, we'll go to Tuesday, or Monday to Thursday, we'll go Tuesday to Friday next week. Today on the podcast, I want to talk about two players that have really stood out at the OTA practices and two young players who I think can step up in 2018 in kind of unexpected ways. But before we do that, let's start today, as we do every day, with some Steelers news and notes. The first one being Ben Roethlisberger, who we talked about on Friday, and we talked about Antonio Brown as well, and both of these players not being at the latest OTA practices. It doesn't sound like either one is going to be at this week's OTAs either. Ben Roethlisberger is on vacation with his family this week, and Antonio Brown, according to NFL Network, only likes to practice with his quarterback. So he was with Ben at the high school where they were practicing together last week, and now Ben Roethlisberger on vacation. So I don't know, maybe AB skips out on this week as well. As I said on Friday, would I prefer that these players were at the OTA practices? Of course. Is it a requirement? No. You know, I think it's somewhat disappointing, but I think, and we'll talk about this on tomorrow's podcast, because I want to talk about how different Randy Feuchner's offense is really going to be, but it does kind of seem like, based on Ben taking this vacation, AB not being there, it does feel like the Randy Feuchner offense isn't going to be a brand new offense. It's not even going to be radically different in any ways. And so, you know, Ben spending some time away from the team right now, again, as we talked about, it's not going to be an issue a week from now at minicamp. It's not definitely, you know, and in 2 weeks, it'll be forgotten completely. So, yes, I would prefer Ben is there, but largely this is a non-factor. Michael Kendricks, the inside linebacker from the Philadelphia Eagles, who was released about 2 or 3 weeks ago, is signing with the Cleveland Browns, or maybe is signing with the Browns. I don't know. It was reported a couple times today that he's going to sign with the Browns for a 1-year deal, I think valued at around $3.5 million. And then Michael Kendricks denied this, you know, explicitly. And so who knows what's happening. It does sound like he actually is going to sign with the Browns, or that his intention is to sign with the Browns, but maybe the deal wasn't completely done yet. We shall see. But again, you know, Michael Kendricks was a guy who Steeler fans felt like could upgrade the inside linebacker position. He certainly would have made it a much more interesting dynamic at inside linebacker. But the problem here was $3.5 million, considering where the Steelers are from a salary cap perspective, was probably unrealistic. And also, they just seem happy with where they are at inside linebacker. You know, they're starting with Tyler Matakevich. They want to give him reps. Of course, they're going to give Bostic his reps as well. Adding someone else to that mix right now before they really know what they have with Matakevich and what they have with Bostic, I don't think it was ever truly realistic. And so not surprising to me to see that the Steelers are passing on Michael Kendricks. And then finally, Mike Adams, the offensive tackle who the Steelers took, I think, 5 years ago. He never really made it in the NFL, suffered some injury problems, was just never a consistent tackle. He tried to play right tackle for this team, ended up losing out that spot to Marcus Gilbert. You know, he's attempting a comeback now. And if you look at the workout videos that he has put up, he is a completely different person. His physique is completely different. He is the work that he has put in to try and make this comeback, not as a tackle, but as a tight end, is tremendous. And you watch these workout videos, and he really does look like a completely different person. I wish him the best of luck. I don't know that he's ever going to make it as a tight end in the National Football League. It's going to be a very tough transition for him, especially being that he was in the league and now he's been out of the league for a couple years and trying to make this attempt back. It's going to be difficult, but I wish him all the best. He certainly put in the work to transform his body from a tackle to a tight end, and I got to say, he looks in phenomenal shape. So best of luck to Mike Adams. All right, and then I want to tell you about our sponsor for today's podcast, BlueChew.com, a performance-enhancing drug, not to help you on the football field, to help you out in the bedroom. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill. The best part is that they are prescribed online, so you don't have to go to the doctor and have that awkward doctor visit, right? They're going to ship straight to your door. You're going to go to BlueChew.com. You're going to fill out an easy form, answer a couple questions. They'll prescribe it to you online, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, there is no awkwardness whatsoever. It's going to ship straight to your door in a discreet package. It is packed and shipped in the United States. It ships directly, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. You visit BlueChew.com, get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. BlueChew, the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. All right, and then let's talk about these two players who have stood out at OTAs thus far, Chucks Okorafor and Cam Sutton. And we'll start with Chucks because this is a guy who, taken in the third round this season as an offensive tackle out of Western Michigan, he was certainly viewed as a luxury pick for the Steelers, no doubt about that, right? An offensive tackle on an already established offensive line at a position where they had, you know, Gerald Hawkins coming in to take the spot of Chris Hubbard. It felt like Okorafor, a raw player from a small school, was going to be, you know, was someone who the Steelers could develop over time. And certainly Mike Munchak has done a remarkable job transforming our offensive line, which was, you know, subpar before he took over, into a dominant, one of the best offensive lines in football. He's done a great job with that. And certainly the thought was with someone like Chucks that he would bring, you know, he would over time develop him from a small school raw player into the polished players that we see starting for the Steelers today. You know, that's no longer going to be the career trajectory for Okorafor, because he's going to have to play this kind of swing tackle role that we had assumed Gerald Hawkins was going to play before his quad injury. And, you know, and whether it's going to be Okorafor or someone like Matt Filer or someone else on the roster, you know, remains to be seen. But at this point, certainly the player we're all looking towards is Okorafor. And he goes from being a luxury pick for this team to somewhat of a need pick, right? The Steelers last year relied so much on Hubbard, not just from a swing tackle he can play in place of Villanueva in case of injury, or with Gilbert when he got suspended last season. And he was so good in doing that. But the Steelers also use this 6 offensive line formation on running downs that, they used it enough last season that it was certainly a big hole to fill when Hubbard left for Cleveland. And so Okorafor now goes from being a raw, you know, developmental player to someone who, you know, we want to get up to speed as quickly as possible. And TheAthletic.com got some good quotes from Ramon Foster talking about Okorafor. Quote, "You look at him, his body type, number one, his set is very professional. You don't have to teach him much as far as his technique. He just has to learn the small aspects of it, the finish, the IQ of it. There isn't much that separates him from a first-round pick to a third-round pick. If he went to Alabama, he's a first-round pick. If he went to Tennessee, he's a first-round pick. Clemson, first round. Florida, first round. He just went to a small school where some teams may have judged him a little harder and a little different." And that's great to hear, right, from the veteran leader on that offensive line, Ramon Foster, talking about this young guy. Look, if Okorafor is a massive hit for this team, like Ramon Foster is describing him there, and being a first round caliber tackle who just had went to the wrong school, essentially, right, is why he was held back. And we heard this from Kevin Colbert and Mike Munchak during the draft, that they were very shocked that someone like Okorafor was available to them in the third round. They had a much higher grade on him. You know, this is exactly what the Steelers need at this position right now, which is someone who can come in and fill in for that swing tackle position, fill in as the 6th offensive lineman, it would have been nice if he was competing for with Gerald Hawkins for that role, but that's no longer the case now, right? Hawkins is going to be out for the season, and so a lot of that is going to go to Okorafor. And there's two scenarios here. One is the Steelers just don't have the kind of depth they did a year ago because Hubbard is now on Cleveland, and that seems like it's, you know, largely going to be the case. I don't expect Okorafor his rookie year to come in and be, you know, as good as Chris Hubbard was. But if he can be a solid contributor on next year's team and fill in when needed at the tackle positions and play a little bit of that six offensive lineman role, and the Steelers can continue rolling with the same type of offensive scheme they've used in the past couple seasons, that's a huge win for this team, especially considering, you know, how big that Hawkins injury was going to be for that offensive line. Continuing the same amount of depth, continuing the same amount of, you know, sixth offensive lineman play, losing Hubbard, losing Hawkins, but getting someone like Okorafor would be a absolutely gigantic win for this offense. So hopefully we continue to hear good things about Okorafor throughout the process. And then let's talk about Cam Sutton, the cornerback taken last season in the third round from Tennessee. He was praised so much out of college as being a cerebral player, a very smart football player, something the Steelers desperately need in that secondary. You know, we've talked so much this offseason about the communication issues that this team has had, and they want these kind of smart football players in their secondary, and they've certainly emphasized that in the players they've taken over the past couple months, whether it be Morgan Burnett or Terrell Edmonds. You know, it is certainly, and John Bostic as well, the linebacker position, it's certainly something they've placed a huge emphasis on. Now, Cam Sutton was a guy last season who was injured during preseason, and so he sat out the majority of 2017, so he's been somewhat under the radar since then, right? Now, with Sutton, you know, he went down with injury, and then he came back about week 12, which is right around the time that Joe Hayden went down with his injury. So, you know, Cam Sutton had a chance last season to compete with Cody Sensabaugh for that starting outside corner position and ended up beating Cody Sensabaugh out for the starting spot. Remember, Sensabaugh had a good game against Tennessee, but then struggled against Green Bay and Baltimore. And when it came to who was going to start against the New England Patriots and that, you know, the man-to-man defense they were going to play, the Steelers went with rookie Cam Sutton, and he was praised by Tomlin for his play in that game. He, at the OTAs over the past couple weeks, he's been getting looks all over the secondary. You know, he's been called this kind of Swiss Army knife. He can play multiple positions in the secondary. And there was so much talk during the offseason before OTAs, before the draft, that with the logjam at corner, it felt like the smart move would have been to move Cam Sutton to safety. Now, after the Steelers took Marcus Allen and Terrell Edmonds, obviously that's out the door, right? And Colbert threw cold water on that idea right away, even at, I think it was at the pre-draft press conference, talking about how good Cam Sutton was, and they want to keep him at corner, and he's someone they feel like can play inside or outside. Look, I have to say this about Cam Sutton. We talk about the projections for the secondary, and the easy answer is it's just going to be chalk from what it was a year ago. Joe Hayden on the outside, Artie Burns across from him on the outside, and Mike Hilton in the nickel, right? And that seems like the most likely starting three in the secondary. Of course, you'll then have Sean Davis and Morgan Burnett as your starting safeties. I don't know that it's that easy, though. I really do feel like Cam Sutton has a chance in 2017 to push for not just the backup spot. I think he's going to beat out Cody Sensabaugh for that number one backup at corner, which he already did a year ago. I really feel like he can push for a starting spot on this team. And I think, you know, we talk about Joe Hayden and Artie Burns. You know, neither guy at this point in their career is a lights out, true shutdown corner. And so there is room for Cam Sutton, I feel like, to push for a starting spot on this team. I would be unlikely to me to see him push out a guy like Joe Hayden. But when we talk about Artie Burns, you know, he has not exactly lit the world on fire his first couple seasons in the NFL. And Cam Sutton is a guy who, you know, was on the rise, didn't get a lot of playing time last year, but in the small amount of time he was healthy, he beat out Cody Sensabaugh for a starting spot. I feel like given a complete year now to learn this defense, to improve himself, and be healthy, I think he can push Artie Burns for a starting spot on this secondary. You know, he probably is not going to push Mike Hilton for that nickel spot because Mike Hilton was, you could argue, the best player in the secondary a year ago. And maybe the Steelers feel like they want to keep Sutton as a utility player who can play some nickel, some outside, use him in that way. But, boy, I would not be surprised. And I'm calling it today. It's June 4th. I think Cam Sutton can push for a starting spot in this secondary. You know, we're hearing about him now at OTAs. We'll see what we hear next week. I imagine it's going to be the same kind of thing. But as we get into training camp, as we get into preseason, I really feel like this is a guy who can compete not just for a backup spot, but for a starting spot in that secondary. And something the Steelers desperately need, which is young talent to develop, especially in that secondary. So we'll see how it goes as this process continues. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.